Hello, everyone, and welcome to Now Spinning, the official podcast of the Lansing Community College Vinyl Record Club. We meet twice a month to listen to vinyl and talk about music. Stay tuned to learn about how you can get in touch with us and attend our meetings. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Now Spinning. With me today, I have...
Leo Ackerman.
Tyler Reck.
And I'm Simon Medina. That's my name. Today, we are going to be talking about an artist and a band who was very near and dear to the development of this club. As everybody knows here, Brian Wilson, leader of the Beach Boys, passed away.
July 11th?
Yeah,
June 11th. Oh, geez. June 11th, yeah. I'm sorry.
We decided that we can't really talk about the entire history and like discography of this band.
That would take
we can't
like
do it
months.
Justice with one episode. So we decided we're going to focus in on a singular album of theirs, one of their best, in my opinion, mm-hmm. and that is Sunflower from 1970. This album's interesting because it's a full Beach Boys album is what it is.
Yeah.
A lot of the early Beach Boys stuff, it's mostly just Brian calling all the shots, arranging everything, writing everything. But this album is interesting because every member really plays their own part. And like, there's a lot of songs that they all contribute equally to it. And it really shows how the strengths of the band just not beyond being a vehicle for Brian Wilson's songwriting. Just to kick things off, we're going to start going through the track list here, starting with the first track on the album. And that is Slip On Through, which gets us off to a good start, I think. This is a Dennis Wilson song.
One of many on this record.
Yeah, he's all over this
one. I like it.
And yeah, I'll just like preface this by saying that, like I said earlier, this is kind of like a collective effort, like a democratic album. And it really shows with Dennis especially, because he's got three songs on this record. When before he, I think on the album before this, he has two. And then the one before that, he's got one. But this is really him coming into his own as like a songwriter.
I mean, he was really coming into it himself as a songwriter, especially like in 1969, kind of when the album was developed into, well, it was a completely different project, but you know, he really came into his own right there in 69 and blossomed into a really good songwriter.
And yeah, like I said, this is a great example that it's like a nice, it's a very good like groove to it, I think. It's very of its time in that like, It's very 70s is what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean? It's like it's a good jam to it. I think it's a great way to start the album off because, you know, this is their first album of the whole decade. They're trying to show that they still got it. They're moving past their old image, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And speaking of that, if we are like using this as a way to introduce people to the Beach Boys later material, we have to establish like real quick. Brian Wilson pretty much out of the picture. For a few tracks.
In terms of the album, I'd say so.
He's on all of these. He isn't writing them all.
He doesn't have a lead vocal on this album, which kind of is what saddens me, especially if this is like our first like central Beach Boys album with Brian Wilson just passing away. You know,
well, my thought is that he's present on all the tracks. He arranged all of the vocals on this album. He produced it along with the rest of the Beach Boys. It's not that he's there's like the narrative that after Smile failed, he just went to bed and didn't do anything for 10 years, which is entirely fake. This album kind of shows that a lot because he's there. Even if his voice isn't at the forefront, his presence is definitely, you can feel it throughout the album. It's a unifying thing.
Yeah, he's felt throughout the album, but in terms of like, if you're looking for something that's like written by Brian Wilson and sung by Brian Wilson and is the project of Brian Wilson, this is not the album you're looking for.
Yeah,
this is a Beach Boys like, collaborative effort. And really the first, honestly, the first one that I'd say was like really, I'm not going to say coherent, but the one that like really stood up on its own as
absolutely.
A group effort.
Yeah, because you've got stuff from Bruce Johnston, Mike Love, you've got stuff like a few things from Al and you know, a couple Dennis tracks too, and Carl's in there as well.
All of the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
But after we went on this talk about all the Beach Boys involved, here's a song Brian wrote following up the first one, and this is maybe one of the best songs, I think. This is probably a hot take to say, but like this is one of Brian's best songs. It's called This Whole World, and it's a fascinating track. It's less than 2 minutes long.
It's also too short.
Yeah, absolutely. They managed to cram so many like key changes into this like one short 2 minute song. It really shows you that like he's still there. He's still got it. He's making music with the best of them, you know?
Incredibly dense song, but yeah. Like you said, the idea that he just like went to bed for 10 years until he like popped up again with Love You is just like ridiculous. Yeah. He was still very much making music.
Yeah, he only had that kind of like, I can't think of the word, but you know, he only had that kind of thing happen for like a couple of years, and that was like in 1972, 71, 72.
Yeah, that's more of of a Surf's Up thing, but we're not talking about that today. Surf's we'll get to that
and,
sometime.
And mostly, I'd say Carl and the Passions, mostly. Mm-hmm.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
We're getting ahead of ourselves, but if you want to hear us talk about it, listen to the podcast. Mm-hmm. Listen to our podcast, come to the meetings. We love talking about the Beach Boys.
Especially me.
Beautiful. But moving down the line here, we have another Brian Wilson track that he wrote this one. It's called Add Some Music to Your Day. This one, it's very cheesy.
Dennis Chair.
Yeah. It's a strange... Yeah. Nobody is going to know what you're talking about when you said that right
no,
there.
But they dropped the words, you know, you're sitting in a dentist chair.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's a song that's about how music is great. And
it's all around you.
Yeah, and it's a very wholesome, I don't want to say schmaltzy, but it gets on the territory a little bit. This song's interesting in that, like, every member, except for Dennis, gets a chance to take a lead vocal. So they all take turns singing some of the lines, including Brian. So he's got, like, a little bit of a lead vocal on this one. It's a nice little song. I don't know why they put this out as their first single to promote this album.
It should have been this whole world.
Here's the thing. So in 1969, they were still with Capitol Records. Mm-hmm. They made an album, fans call it Reverberation, but then they submitted Live in London instead. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, just to get out of the contract. Mm-hmm. And then they were working on a new album called Add Some Music to Your Day, an album offering from the Beach Boys, and Add Some Music was the single that was, like, for that album. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, like, that single didn't do well, and the album got rejected, too. Mm-hmm. So that kind of, like, you know,
and that
didn't help.
Morphed into Sunflower.
Yeah.
And that's probably why they didn't really talk about this song too much, but it's a nice little song. I'm not going to hate on it. I can't hate this album. I can't hate this song especially. But
you just mentioned it. I think, you know, if we're going to be talking about the record, we also have to talk about the reception at the time.
Oh,
you said, the single not super well received, and they had to redo the whole album. And, you know, despite doing that, Sunflower still didn't do great commercially over here in the States, at least.
Yeah.
It did okay in England, who really kept them afloat during their 70s years. But it did not do well over here. The record, I think it just came at the wrong time.
Yeah, like, it was...
The record is very wholesome, very mature, very like, okay, we're grown-ups.
Yeah.
And like, we're like, you know, we're getting used to like domestic, like chill life, whatever. Or at least they pretended they were, with how like ripe with turmoil the band actually was. The record didn't do well at all, despite how critically acclaimed it was.
Yeah, and that's a real tragedy, because this is definitely... as far as their albums go in like the 70s, they couldn't have got, I think they came off to like a very strong start as far as the music goes. Mm-hmm. It's just like you said, it came out at a very strange time in history and a very strange time for the band. They were kind of in a transition. They didn't really know who they were or where they were going. They thought they figured it out with this one, but then this kind of fell apart. So they had to kind of reinvent themselves again, as they've done multiple times.
As rock music got dirtier and like grittier, the Beach Boys stayed the same relatively clean band into the 70s, and that just was not selling.
No, it just wasn't. But moving on through the album, we can kind of say they tried to kind of keep up with the trends. This is a song called Got to Know the Woman, which is very much a very straight up, like, a bluesy, like, hard rock song. Not really hard rock. I wouldn't call anything as hard rock, but it's as hard as the Beach Boys get.
Yeah.
And it's fine. This is, if there's any song in this I'd probably skip over, it might be this one, but it's not a bad song by any means.
This was a good Dennis track. It was from the, previously mentioned that I mentioned the Capitol album that they made for kind of early 1969, which is kind of, you know, rock and kind of whole song and thing. But people, Beach Boys fans and all alike, consider Got to Know the Woman to be probably the worst song on the album. That's kinda,
I mean,
like,
something's got to take like, place.
Yeah.
It's not a bad song. I don't want to be mean about it, but it's all right. But moving along to the complete polar opposite, of course, this... song called Deirdre by Bruce Johnston. Shout out to that guy. Great.
Is it
friend of the show?
About Jane Asher, right?
Maybe. I'm not sure. This is just like a shift. They just did this like a straight up like a rock song. And this one's like so incredibly whimsical. If it gets too windy out, this song would just blow away. Like,
this is like, when I first listened to this song, here's what I thought of. I thought of, you know, you're living out in the country in like, Nebraska or something like that. You know, you got this oak tree or something with a tire swing on it, and you're swinging on the tire swing.
It's very evocative. I'm not saying it's a bad song, because it's a very nice, it's a very pleasant song. There's a very interesting, to start it out, the intro to this song is like haunting. It's like, it's like a very like, there's like this voice echoes in the distance. it's kind of creepy, but like,
yeah,
that song, I think, is actually this song, by the way, if you're like a video game person, this got sampled by the game Earthbound for part one of the levels, and that's probably the place where this song is most well known outside of being a Beach Boys fan.
Yeah,
but it's just the intro, that like creepy a cappella intro, is what they sampled.
And next up, It's About Time.
Okay,
talk
I love this
about
one.
Whiplash, because I feel because the album's good, but it's just, you know, the whimsy of add some music to the hard rocking thing of Got to Know the Woman, to the whimsy of Deirdre, to the hard rocking thing of It's About Time. It's
as
just
hard as
too,
the Beach Boys rock.
It's Whiplash to me. Bit. It's Whiplash. You know,
I don't mind it personally. I think it's a treat.
This is
my favorite song on the album.
Oh,
I love this song. It's About Time is like, I wouldn't call it hard rock. It's honestly just like pop rock with some like soul inspiration.
Oh yeah, there's a
similar to what they were doing on Wild Honey, but like good.
What? Excuse me?
Let's skip on that.
We'll talk about Wild Honey. We'll circle back after the podcast.
But like, I think this is like the soul stuff they were trying on Wild Honey, just like done to the best of its ability.
Right.
It just rules. It has these like crazy chord changes in the second half.
Yeah, and the drums. The drums on this song are insane. Like, he's just like blasting through it the whole time. The percussion
the
as well. The bongos.
Oh,
dude.
Here's a fun fact.
Uh-oh.
This is technically the only new original track for this album.
Yeah,
half of them were recorded for the last Capitol album. Half of them were recorded for Add Some Music. And Cool Cool Water has its kind of, you know,
we'll get to that when we get to it.
In
we'll get
Smile
to it.
And Wild Honey.
That's a whole other.
We're getting to it. Don't worry. Yeah, the one thing about this band is that they love to like go back and reuse songs that they dropped years ago because either to fill out the album or just because they thought they can improve on them. And this is not. There are far more egregious examples in their discography of just kind of jumping back 10 years or so and grabbing a random song out. But
yeah,
that's the end of side one of the album. Flipping It Over is another Bruce song. This one's called Tears in the Morning, and it's about like a woman who like scorned him and took his child away.
And she's going back to Europe.
Yeah, yeah. And turns out like they asked him about like who'd you write this about? What happened to you? He's like, oh, I made it up.
Fire. That's great.
And it worked out.
Finally, some not real turmoil in the Beach Boys. Yeah. They just made it up.
Yeah, he just made it up.
It just didn't happen.
It's a very melodramatic song, but bless its heart. It's cheesy, but it's good. It's like good cheesy, I have to say. Like,
my source is that I made it up.
Exactly. That's Bruce right there. Hopping down the track list here after that one. These next three songs are probably the three strongest songs in the album, and I would say maybe even like they're some of their strongest songs in the entire decade. And first off, we'll just jump in straight into it with the first one, which is called All I Want to Do.
Yeah.
Mm.
And this song is, oh man, this is such an incredible song for its time. Like, even now, like even taking it out of context of it being from like 1970, it's such a beautiful, like ethereal song. Very ahead of its time in the sound of it, because like it sounds like a dream pop song from like as early as like the 90s, like the 80s, 90s.
Leo, I don't know if it was you, but when we like, I think we played it once for like a record club meeting, like, a year and a half ago or so, and you said it was kind of like shoegaze.
Yeah,
it is kind of like dream poppy. If I called it shoegaze,
I think it will.
I'm gonna correct myself and say I don't think it's shoegaze.
Yeah,
but it definitely is super like influential to neo psychedelia and dream pop and whatnot. I believe actually an Australian radio station.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was this song, but it was this song.
Yeah.
Okay. So a radio station in Australia said, all right, we have this new Tame Impala song. They queued up All I Want to Do, and no one realized it was not Tame Impala. That's how forward-thinking, and I don't know if it would be boundary-pushing, but pop music...
If people listened to it at the time, I think it would have been boundary-pushing, but like I said, this album got overlooked a lot, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But this song especially, I also want to say, it kind of shows the strengths of the people in the band, is that this song was written by Brian... But this arrangement, the way it was like fleshed out, was really like Carl Wilson, his youngest brother, youngest of the three Wilson brothers. He's the one who kind of fleshed this out. Mm-hmm. And
he was actually the only person in the Beach Boys, if I'm correct, who was actually playing alongside the crew on like
he's on all those early records. And, he's
actually playing with the session musicians, so he has the expertise to arrange this stuff.
And
I think that really adds on to, this is the first record where everybody is contributing.
Everybody
has like learned so much being in the band together and learned how to work with each other. And Carl especially comes into his own as the band leader in Brian's quasi absence.
Yeah. And then another interesting thing about it is that like Carl fleshed it out, but then Brian came back after he fleshed it out and did all of like the vocal harmonies and the parts and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was really not just Carl. Like, Carl kind of brought it back to his attention, kind of. Mm-hmm. Well, and he was into what he was doing, so he came back and did the vocal parts.
I thought this was a Mike track.
Mike wrote the lyrics.
Oh.
Mike Love. I don't know if he's a friend of the show, but he's on the show.
Well, I'd say he's a friend of the show. He's like one of the three Beach Boys that's
he's there.
Still alive. Well, one of the four Beach Boys that's still alive. We'll sorry, I forgot you, Bruce. But, you know.
Friend of the show, Bruce Johnson.
Yeah. I always thought it was like a Mike because everyone was like, oh, this is Mike.
It's his best.
This is
he
Mike
sings
Love's
it.
Best track it's his he's best, ever written.
I think it's his best vocal performance.
But, yeah.
He sings. He does a great vocal on this. It really complements the sound of it, like the just the echoing guitars and such. It's such a beautiful track. If you listen to one song from Sunflower, this would be the one I would recommend. It sounds nothing like the rest of the album, but the rest of the album is still really good.
Or a song that I would recommend if you'd want to listen to any track from Sunflower is this next track, which is
Forever, which is famous for a few reasons, but firstly, it's probably Dennis Wilson. This is his first big song. Like, he'd written songs before. Like I said, there's a couple on this album, but this is the one where he really shows he can keep up with Brian, kind of. It's such a beautiful, great track.
I would say this is probably his most important track.
Yeah, I think
as
so.
As a songwriter. Like, this is the moment where, like, Dennis Wilson is like, okay, guys, I know I was, like, the actual surfer and, like, the drummer, and that's cool and everything, but, like I'm here. I've arrived. I'm a great songwriter. Yeah.
This takes its... you know, kind of originates from 1969 for that last Capitol album, too. It was supposed to be the closer for that one, which it does. Doesn't it give closer energy?
Yeah.
Ending a song on Forever. Of course. Yeah. That's like ending an album on the song Forever, even though it's the end. It's like, yeah, of course. It makes sense. It's a great closer. It would have been a great closer.
Yeah, that's my main nitpick with the album itself.
The sequencing is
yeah.
I agree with that.
Going back to what I said earlier about the side one with, you know, the last four tracks, a side one that's kind of like the track listing is a little...
One, I do think jumps around a little bit. I don't mind it. Yeah. I think it's fine. But I do understand, like, it can be a little bit jarring with, like, the more rock and soul influenced tracks with the very sweet Baroque and Sunshine Pop.
I feel like I gotta say it. This song is also kind of well known because it was on a TV show featuring John Stamos. The name of the show I dare not say here, but John Stamos covered this song for a later album by this band as well, which we will also not say the name
of.
We
will not talk about that album.
Did this show happen to have Bob Saget and Elizabeth Olsen's sisters?
On. Maybe. I don't know, and I'm just mentioning this because John Stamos still tours with the Beach Boys now. If they bring John Stamos out, he will sing Forever, and that's just something I thought I'd bring up just in case one of you wonderful listeners decides to go to a Beach Boys concert, and you're like, why is John Stamos here?
Well, here's the thing about the Beach Boys right now. Their new drummer rocks, dude.
I believe it.
News article said he was like if Keith Moon, an animal from the Muppets, had a kid.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But he's playing with Mike Love, and he's playing with Mike Love on stage.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's beast. I got nothing else.
That's beast. But anyway, circling back to the album, though, we have a follow-up to Forever, which is called Our Sweet Love. And this is this song is definitely... Even within like the Beach Boys fandom, this song is definitely under discussed. It's like reminds me a lot of God Only Knows and like
because it is the Carl vocals too.
Yeah,
you know?
He's saying this is a beautifully vocal from Carl. Shout out to Carl Wilson from the show.
Carl.
Like I said, this reminds me a lot of God Only Knows. Also in the instrumentation, there's like a very like it's like a lush string arrangement as well. I can say like for every Beach Boys song ever, there's really great harmonies on it, but this one especially, I think it goes to takes to another level. Great track.
I agree. What comes after that?
Okay, so this is another one of those incredibly whimsical tracks following that up, which is called At My Window, which is written about... It's just about how he sees a bird outside his window, and it features Brian Wilson speaking French, so if you ever wanted to hear Brian speak French on a record...
Not great French,
he's doing his best.
He's trying.
Here's an interesting thing, because this is... kind of like taken from the Kingston Trio song.
Oh, yeah,
song.
They played
thanks, Al. The Kingston Trio song, Raspberry Strawberries, like the he came to my
No, I don't know
window.
That one.
And instead of that, in the song Raspberry Strawberry, says, his dreams are turned to dust. And then they speak French in that one, too.
Huh.
Yeah, this was Al Jardine took this one for the Beach Boys and didn't tell them until they recorded it, I think. I don't think he ever told them.
Frankly. Classic Al.
Shout out to Al.
We love our little guy. He's our favorite.
Gremlin Man. But ending out this album, though, we have one of the best songs they ever did, I think, as well. This is Cool, Cool Water. And this one's got an interesting story. This song kind of...
Strap in, everybody.
Here we go. Yeah. We do a little bit of lore. I know I said when I went into this, I don't want to go too deep into the lore, but this song has lore. So it originally started back during the Smile Sessions, and I think it was like 1967. Mm-hmm. There was originally, for that album, there was planned to be kind of like a suite of songs. They were kind of talking about different elements, and one of them was going to be water. And they recorded this like weird chant thing for that, which they ended up obviously the whole album.
The chant was recorded. Uh-oh. The chant was actually recorded during Wild Honey.
I lied. I'm washed.
Cool, Cool Water was like supposed to be on the original track list for Wild Honey, mm-hmm. you know, on side two.
No, wait, hold on. No, there was a song. It was originally like conceived for Smile, and then they kind of didn't finish it for Smile.
It was called Cool Water, but the chant, the water chant, was made during the Wild Honey sessions.
And that was a year after
that.
That
goes like the water, water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one.
And they went back to it for the Wild Honey sessions, didn't finish it then. 3 years later...
Well, they did finish it.
They finished part of it.
Yeah.
As is tradition, they do this a lot where they'll finish songs in pieces over years and years of distance.
Okay, here's a pretty good song. Let's shelve it for 50 years.
Yeah, literally.
I'll sleep on it.
Yeah, literally what happens. Anyway, they brought it back again, finally for Sunflower. And this song is... They finished it in a very interesting way in that, like, it's a... As far as, like, synthesizers go, early synthesizers... They really did a lot of, they really went deep into it with this one, like the Moog. Mm-hmm. Not just making like music with it, but they also made a lot of sound effects, like water dripping. Mm-hmm. It's a very watery song. Like it literally, I know I said it's literally in the title, but it like evokes a very strong feeling, I think, as I have to say. Like this is like imagery wise, this song especially.
I guess an interesting thing that I just thought about is, in a way, this final version of Cool Cool Water serves as a bridge from those late 60 years to the synthesizer-inspired work of the 1970s.
Absolutely.
Perhaps a bridge over some cool, cool water?
Perhaps.
Get out.
I love your mind.
Get out. Put the sunglasses. What the heck is that? I'm sorry.
Sorry, I got... For I the got, view... Like, for right, the after, right after this, I gotta, like, okay. Gun it, man.
Listeners at home, Tyler just put on some sunglasses to say that bit, and I thank you for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the song, like, starting off with the, like, water, 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 water.
Oh, God, yeah.
Beautiful, by the way. It starts off with the 1960s stuff. And then I believe in the second half of the song, it's newer recordings.
That's when they started. That's the newer stuff is the second half. And again, that's also, I think that song itself also kind of represents the way this album, like the 70s Beach Boys in general, was like, it's Brian started it off and got it going, but he kind of wasn't able to finish it. So the rest of the band kind of stepped in and kept it going for him. And that's, I guess that's like kind of a theme across all these albums. Mm-hmm. Like not just this one, but there's a lot of songs where like Brian started writing a song, but then was like, I don't like this anymore, and left it alone. So the rest of the band kind of kept it, kind of finished it on his behalf. Mm-hmm. They do a pretty good job at it, I think.
I still do think that It's About Time is my favorite track, but this, if you are going to like listen to one track that is, you know, probably the best encapsulation of the like the wonder of the Beach Boys and their psychedelia and, you know, their contributions to experimental music, this is the one. It's double the length of like the other longest song here. It's like 6 minutes long.
Yeah, very brief album. It's only like the whole album's only like 36 minutes. It's 12 songs, so it's all it's very round. Yeah. It's a great, very round album.
36 minutes, and this is like six and however many seconds of it. Incredible song, beautiful song. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, but wonderful
album.
Yeah, that is the end of the album, and I have to say, it's a tragedy that this didn't get recognized when it came out, but. Thankfully, in recent years, as like the internet became a thing, and like a lot of indie artists, like art pop, indie pop artists in like the late 90s, 2000s, really latched onto this album. I think you can definitely hear it.
Big emphasis on Animal Collective.
Animal Collective. Yeah, this album.
Yeah, and it's really appreciated in the Beach Boys fandom and stuff.
Oh yeah, no, this was I think it was always a fan favorite, I think, as long as you were like a real fan, not to gatekeep or anything, but like they knew from the beginning. The problem with it now, of course, is that because people slept on it in the 70s, it is impossible to find it anywhere out in the world. I had to order mine off the internet.
I want to find a stateside copy, which fixes the problem I have with it. It switches Deirdre and Got to Know the Woman.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, great album, though. Our commentary on it will not do it justice. Go home, listen to this album. If you've never listened to the Beach Boys before, maybe also listen to Pet Sounds. But this album, I think, if you want to get into the Beach Boys post-Pet Sounds kind of music, I think this is a pretty great place to start, especially if you want to get into their 70s work, which is an entirely different world. Great stuff there, too.
It's my thoughts. It's a very springtime album. It's super springtime. If there's any Beach Boys albums that, like, say and scream springtime, it's this one.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that, but I think that is everything for today. We'll definitely come back to this band at a later date for some more episodes.
So.
Oh, don't you worry. We'll get there. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
But if you're interested in
so much stuff to talk about.
But if you're interested in hearing any songs from this album or any other Beach Boys album, I'm sure it'll get played at a later meeting.
Or ask me.
Or ask Tyler.
Yeah.
If you come to any of our meetings, you can check out our website, which will have meeting dates, themes, past playlists, past podcasts, anything you need to know about our show and our club. It's a really great group of people at the club. Listen to all kinds of music. Whether you, as a vinyl collector, if you've like just started out or you've never collected anything or you've been collecting for your whole life, you're welcome here. The only requirement to join the club is you have to be willing to listen to music you wouldn't normally listen to. Like I said, check out our website for any information you might need. And I think that does wrap it up for today. Thank you for listening and bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Love you.
Goodbye. Bye-bye. Okay, man. Love I got a split. Bye-bye. Oh.